Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
This morning, we are going to be looking at Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to look at the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem at the beginning of the week in which that would end in his death and his resurrection. I know when I think of most rescues, I think of things that happen by chance, like the right person was in the right place at the right time and they were able to help somebody. I also think of other people, such as our public servants, our firemen, our EMTs, our police officers and sheriff's deputies that prepare, are always preparing and available to be called upon in the chance that someone needs rescuing, which is wonderful. But here we come in contact in God's Word with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that God the Father sent God the Son to live on behalf of sinners and to die on behalf of sinners, and 3 days later raised victoriously up from the grave, conquering sin and death on behalf of sinners, giving life to all those who would place faith in Him. And I want to tell you, this is not a rescue that happened by chance. This is not a rescue where someone was preparing for the day that they may have the opportunity to rescue someone. This is a rescue that God put into action before the foundation of the earth. When we see Jesus come into Jerusalem in the beginning of Mark chapter 11, we see a man. We see the God-man, the Son of God, heading for the cross, purposely heading to the cross to rescue you and I from our sin. And for the believers this morning, my hope is that when we look at this passage, we would see God in intentionality and love for us in providing salvation for us. And we would be encouraged and quickened to praise Him as believers who have been saved by His grace. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Him, you haven't believed in the life, death, and resurrection, and truly repented of your sin, my prayer is that you would be moved to belief and repentance today and place faith alone in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we praise You for Your Son, Jesus, who lived righteously and died sacrificially and rose victoriously up from the grave for our sin. God, we pray that You would move us as a result of coming in contact with Your Word this morning and singing Your praise to sing Your praise more and louder so that the world may know Your name and Your glory and what Your Son did for them. God, we pray for those who cannot be with us because of grief or illness. Lord, we pray that You would make Your presence known to them in a special way this morning. Lord, we just pray that You would move among our hearts here this morning. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Follow along with me as I read. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one else has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told them that Jesus had said, what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This passage may not seem like much, but it is huge for our understanding of exactly what God was doing for us and had been doing for us and would do for us in and through his son Jesus. We see in these verses, particularly the first seven verses, that Jesus was always headed to Jerusalem and specifically to the cross on our behalf. He was always headed to Jerusalem and the cross. We see kind of a strange set of circumstances. They are outside the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus sends two of his disciples to the next village up, and he says, "You will find a colt, the foal of a donkey, out on the edge of the village. You are to untie it and bring it back to me. And if someone asks you what you're doing, why are you taking this colt that does not belong to you, tell them the Lord has need of it, and they will let you go." Now, Jesus is strangely specific here. He tells them where, what village, where the donkey will be, that it'll be tied up, that someone will question them about untying the colt, and what their response will be when they tell him what he says to tell them. A list of very specific circumstances. And each one of them, as we read through these first seven verses, we find that each one of them was exactly as Jesus said it would be. Now, it's important for us to contextualize here. Jesus was not living in the day of cell phones or even landlines, right? He didn't have a letter carrier go before him 2 weeks prior to this event to set up these events. Jesus knew the circumstances of these events because Jesus is the Son of God. He knew what was happening. In those moments, in the moments when they would arrive in the next village and the circumstances of where the colt would be tied up, he knew that that colt would have never been ridden by a human being before. He knew all of that because he was fully man and fully God. In fact, we see in that these circumstances are actually fulfilling a prophecy from Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, and the foal of a donkey." Jesus knows it is his time to arrive into Jerusalem. Not just any way, but the way that Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 said that the king of salvation would arrive in Jerusalem on a colt that had never been ridden before. Now remember, this wasn't a dominoes situation where he called ahead and he said, I'd like a donkey, please. Actually, a colt. And I want one that's never been ridden before. And no, don't bring it to me. I want you to tie it up on the edge of town and I'll have two guys meet you and pick it up from there. He wasn't ordering pizza. Jesus knew. He knew. He set it up. Because Jesus was always headed for Jerusalem and always headed to the cross. For me and for you. Why does it matter that we see these details? Why does it matter that the Holy Spirit included these details in His Word? It matters because here in these details, specifically in these verse seven verses, we see God's love and His intentionality to save us. We see it earlier in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus says this about himself. He says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed." Mark 9:31, he repeats himself, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him." He's talking about himself. Mark chapter 10, verse 33, he repeats himself a third time. He says, "See, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death." And so just as Jesus knew the details of where this colt would be and how they would find him and the response of the people connected to this colt, what it would be, Jesus knew the circumstances of the week ahead of him when he would arrive in Jerusalem. He knew he would be praised by the people at the beginning of the week and condemned by the people at the end of the week. He knew that. And he went in and endured it all in spite of that because of his great love for me and for you. Jesus was always headed to Jerusalem, always headed to the cross. We are reminded when we see this that these circumstances, none of them were by chance. Reminds us that we needed his perfect life because none of us have a perfect life. None of us could stand before the Lord God on our own behalf because we wouldn't stand there in righteousness. We'd stand there in sin. And so when we place faith in Jesus, we need his perfect life. We need him to give us that. We need him to pay our sin debt for us, which was death, and he paid it for us on the cross. That was all part of his rescue plan. His life, his death for us in rescuing us. And we needed him to raise up out of the grave to conquer sin and death for eternity on our behalf. We needed that, and it was all part of his rescue plan that was put in place before the foundations of the earth for us. Because Jesus was always headed to Jerusalem and always headed to the cross. But the people in these verses, they didn't know this. They didn't recognize it. If you read the last three verses of this passage, verses 8 through 10 with me one more time, it says, so Jesus is riding in on the colt, the foal of the donkey. And it says, as many spread their cloaks on the ground, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." You see, they saw Jesus riding into Jerusalem because they knew kings did not take their throne by walking into town. Kings took their throne by riding into town. But Jesus was different. According to Zechariah 9, he rode in humbly on the colt, a foal of a donkey, not a horse. But they see Jesus riding in on a colt, and they identify him as the coming king. And so they do what people did to greet the coming king. They laid their cloaks on the ground so that the colt did not touch the ground as he rode into Jerusalem. John tells us the leafy branches were palm branches in his gospel. They took palm branches and laid them on the ground in front of him to honor him and waved them to honor him, not just as any person, but as king. They knew Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. They were thankful for that. What they didn't know was Jesus was headed to the cross for them. The people had seen and heard of the authority of Jesus' teaching. They had seen and heard of Jesus' power over sickness, the many healings he had performed. They had seen and heard of Jesus' power over evil, the demons he had cast out of people, and how those demons ran from him and called him out by name, the Son of God. They had seen and heard Jesus' power over nature, calling down the storm, "Peace, be still, hush." They had seen and heard his power over even death, bringing Lazarus out of the grave, raising up the little girl who had died. And then he was riding in as a king would into Jerusalem. And the people thought his work was done. What they didn't know was his work that week was just beginning. The people thought that he came for a crown. But he had come for a cross. The people thought he came for a coronation of a king, but he had come for the crucifixion of a sinner. The people thought that their voices would continue to praise him, but by the end of the week, their voices actually condemned him to the cross. The people thought that he had come to sit on a throne, but that he had come to lay in a tomb on their behalf. The people thought that they needed political salvation, but they needed so much more. They needed eternal salvation from their sin. The people thought he was a king, but he was the King, the King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. So they honored him with branches of palm trees, and they praised him with Hosanna in the highest, which was a psalm. And Hosanna literally meant in the Hebrew, Hosanna, save us, O Lord. They were repeating Psalm 18, verses 25 and 26. Save us, O Lord. Blessed be the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So they honored him and praised him as a king, but they didn't know what we know. They didn't know that we needed Jesus to live the life he had lived. And they and we needed Jesus to die the death he would die. And we needed Jesus to rise up out of the grave as he would 3 days later after the event of the cross. We needed all those things. They didn't know that, but we do. And we know the outcome of it. And we know that he is the King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We know that he is alive and reigning today in heaven. They thought that that was his triumphal entry into his kingdom. But we know that he is alive and reigning today, and his triumphal entry is yet to come, and he is coming back, and one day we will have the privilege of saying, Hosanna in the highest. Praise be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have that to look forward to. We know what they didn't. They only thought. But we know. Amen. And as a church today, we have the great privilege of those who have placed faith in Jesus, believing in his life, death, and resurrection, and repenting of our sins. We know we have salvation in him. And today, we are going to take the Lord's Supper, remembering what he did for us in his perfect life and in his body and through his body, and then dying for us on his blood on the cross, pouring out his blood on his behalf. And as we take the Lord's Supper, we will look forward to the day that he comes back and we get to say, Hosanna in the highest, save us, O Lord. So that's what we're going to do. If you're a believer here, this is for you. If you are not, this is not for you. But it is an invitation to you to believe in the only one who can save you and to repent of your sins, turning to him alone as your Lord. So as we take the Lord's Supper, if you're not a believer here, we extend the invitation to you to believe and turn to the Lord, the one and only one who can bring you salvation. In the next few moments, I'm going to pray. Brother Slade is going to sing a song, and I just want to invite you to, if you're not a believer here, to just turn to the Lord in your heart, cry out for salvation, asking him as a beggar to give you his life, give you his death, give you his resurrection, and save you from your sin. You can be saved today. If you're a believer here, I want to encourage you, just take the next few moments, listen to this song, be encouraged, confess any sin that is on your heart, and just praise God that before the foundations on the earth, he determined to send his son to die on the cross that we might be saved.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst?
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Tell the world of the treasure you found.